Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. On this week's episode, we're sponsored by Stretchy Pants. Considering Thanksgiving is coming up and three awesome Blurs games, I know if you're anything like me, you're going to be eating a lot of hopefully good food. So make sure to put on your stretchy pants, turn on that Loyola Ramblers stream, and enjoy some basketball games this week. But yeah, we'll talk about all three of those games, as well as this past week's game against IUPUI. So make sure to stay tuned, enjoy the podcast, and don't forget, go Blurs.
He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets the score. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won. 60-58.
We are without the wonderful, valuable, all-knowing co-host Lou this week. With Thanksgiving upcoming, our travel schedules kind of just got crossed, and unfortunately couldn't figure out a way to get him on the podcast. But that doesn't mean that Blurs basketball stops. There were some interesting news things to cover this past week. The first of which is a basketball game, and it is surprisingly not a college basketball game. Wanted to talk a little bit about the Windy City Bulls and the Greensboro Swarm G League game. So for all of our listeners, we've talked briefly about both of these teams because former Loyola alums play on both teams, both Milton Doyle and Dante Ingram. So they faced off this past week in Greensboro. I believe that they have a return game where they play in Chicago. I think it's right at the beginning of the new year. It's either New Year's Day or shortly after that. But Greensboro did actually win this game, 114-102. But both of our alums did not disappoint. Dante finished, he comes off the bench. He played 18 minutes. He scored 6 points, had 4 rebounds, and did make 2 of his 3 three-point attempts. On the flip side, Milton Doyle started for the Windy City Bulls. It actually has him down here as starting at point guard, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if that's just like someone has to be filled in for each position or if he's actually their point guard. Maybe I'll have to tune into one of their games and see if he is the one that's bringing up the ball. But Milton finished with 13 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. It was a little bit of a rough shooting night for him. He went 5 of 20. So, you know, hopefully he's able to turn it around. And we have full faith in him to turn it around. But he did hit a kind of crazy, I don't know if it was in this game. It might have been in a more recent game. It was the same night as the IUPUI game. Milton Doyle had a crazy, like, half-court shot at the end of halftime, which is funny because in our game against IUPUI, we also had an interesting and exciting shot at the halftime buzzer, which I will be sure to fully detail later in the podcast. But it's super cool to see them face off against each other. Hopefully we get to see him again, and I'm hoping that if it's a reasonable day and just a reasonable time that I can make it out there. The Windy City Bulls actually play out in Hoffman Estates at the Sears Center. So they do in fact play on New Year's Day, the return game to Windy City or to Hoffman Estates. But I'm really looking forward to trying to get out there and see some basketball and cheer on two different guys that will go down as Loyola greats. The next bit of news, which actually happened about 2 weeks ago, we didn't talk about it last week, but the Loyola commit and guard, Baylor Hebb from Texas, did sign his letter of intent, which is a written confirmation that he'll come to Loyola starting in the fall of 2020. There are still ways where, you know, if he has a family emergency or financial something, hardship with his parents, there are ways to still for him to not follow through with that commitment, but those are very extenuating circumstances. The interesting part is we actually, if you guys remember, we had 2 commits coming for next year, and we only have 1 scholarship. And interestingly enough, the other commit, Jacob Hudson, did not sign a letter of intent. And that doesn't mean, I don't want everyone to freak out, that doesn't mean that he's not coming here. I think that maybe Porter or someone in the athletic department sort of convinced him to wait to sign the letter of intent. I don't know if there's any violation for having too many players signing their letter of intent before, or signing more letters of intent than they have scholarships. You do see the Blue Bloods do it all the time, like the Dukes and the Kansas and North Carolina, stuff like that. Those teams do that. I'm not sure if that's illegal. I'm not sure if that's against any rule, or if maybe Porter was just playing it safe. You know, maybe he just said, hey, you know, we are really excited for you to come here. You know, we never know who's going to leave. We are thinking that someone's going to leave. So your spot is here and it's saved, and we'll figure out a way to get you on the team one way or the other. I kind of think it's that. I do think that there's nothing to worry about. But it is kind of interesting, and I'll definitely be following along to see, following both of their high school seasons along to see how they're doing and if they have any updates and how that process is going. But it is really exciting to see them. I think a lot of the high school basketball seasons are just getting underway. So it'll be fun to watch them, just like I did last year, you know, with Marquise Kennedy and Paxson Wojcik and Tom Welch, and even before that with Cooper and Isaiah Buchoso and Frank. So make sure to stay tuned to our Twitter account, and we'll be posting anything related to commitments and recruiting for next year and years beyond. So then the last bit of news is more pertaining to the current team as an injury update. So for those of you who follow along with my Twitter, for our Twitter, the podcast Twitter, you know that Big Frank was back and available for the game against IUPUI. He went through warm-ups. He went into halftime warm-ups as well. He looked good. He looked a little tentative still, I'm not going to lie. It is his right hand, his right thumb, which is his shooting hand, his dominant hand. So do you think there's going to be a bit of hesitation? It's only natural. You know, you're going through an injury. You're trying to test it out and see how it responds to different things. Shooting, blocking, rebounding. Guarding, you know, you got to make sure to try to work yourself back into it. And I do think that I was hoping to see Frank get some time playing, even just 5 minutes at the end of the game or something. I was interested to see how coach would use him in his first game back available. And he did not play, but I'm hopeful that he's going to play in the upcoming tournament and hopefully play well. Additionally, Keith Clemens, the other injured player on Loyola's roster, one of them, he had his knee surgery going on 4 or 5 weeks ago, and just after the IUPUI game, Abby Schnabel from the Phoenix was interviewing Porter and asked him about Keith Clemens, and Porter's response was that Keith is getting better and back to working out. But he did not know when the return date was. Well, if you are following along with our Twitter, you know that we had quote tweeted a couple pictures from some of the workouts before the tournament down in the Cayman Islands, and it does look like both Frank and Keith are fully in uniform, fully practicing. They actually have like these. If you look at the pictures, they have these yellow jerseys on, like pennies. If anyone knows what a penny is, it's like a lighter jersey that you can throw over your workout jersey or your practice jersey, and it's like a signifier. It's like, hey, make sure not to hit these guys too hard. They're coming out of injury, so you know you kind of think twice about it. A lot of times in football, you see it with quarterbacks. You know, making sure to kind of respect their injuries and think twice before maybe going up hard or following them or hitting them with your body. So it did look like both of them were back in action. I'm very interested to see how they respond. I think it might be a little different for both of them. I think Frank, coming off his hand injury, he's able to stay conditioned, right? Like he's able to work out pretty much fully, especially leg workouts. And a lot of times in basketball, that's the thing that is the most difficult to come back from after injury, is making sure you're fully conditioned to be able to run up and down the court for 40 minutes. And Frank would have been able to do a lot of that, if not all of the conditioning working out with the team. On the other hand, no pun intended, Keith Clemens did have his knee surgery, so he would not have been able to do any conditioning probably until when Porter said after the game that he was getting back to being better and he was working out. Most likely that means that was the start of when, or just, you know, maybe a couple days after the start of when Keith was able to start working out. I do think that, you know, science points being positive for them both playing in the tournament, especially Frank. I do think Keith will get some time, at least from everything I've seen and the pictures and the videos and all that kind of stuff. I do think it'll be pretty limited for Keith. I would be surprised if he plays over 10 minutes in really any of the games. Maybe 15 would be like a max, an absolute max, because they do play 3 games in 3 days. Can be really taxing on someone's body, especially after coming off a pretty significant knee injury like Keith is. The body just sometimes doesn't respond. You don't have all that strength back, and you're building it up while playing and while you're giving it all, your all. So I do think, at least for this tournament, I would be shocked if Keith starts. I would think he'd be coming off the bench, if anything, maybe giving you 10 minutes. But having Keith give you 10 to 15 and Frank give you 15 or 20 minutes could be huge in this tournament. We've really played with 8 or 9 healthy guys for the first 3 weeks or so of the season. And playing 3 games in 3 days is no joke. And having up now 10, 11 healthy guys, at least you'll have the depth. And so, you know, I really think you're looking at day 2 and day 3 especially of that payoff. I know a lot of these teams coming into the Cayman Islands have not produced as well as like the team has thought they would do. Teams like Nebraska, New Mexico State, and our first opponent, USF, they all have had injuries. They have all struggled. And so I think that if we make sure to manage our guys and manage their playing time, and hopefully win more than a couple games along the way, I really look for that to pay off in day 2 and especially day 3 of the tournament. Whether we're playing for the championship, which hopefully, you know, that's the goal, or playing some other runner-up game or whatever it may be. That's the injury update. Really looking forward to having at least all the guys we thought we would have coming into the preseason, coming into, you know, the exhibition game and stuff like that. We knew Cooper would be out. We knew probably Braden Norris was not going to be able to play this year due to his transfer eligibility. So we did think we had these 11 guys, and now it looks like we're getting back to being healthy. So I think whatever we get out of both Frank and Keith is like kind of icing on the cake. We have a good crew, a good core that we've kind of established here, and hopefully they can pitch right in, join right in, and have no bumps along the way. But that's going to wrap up the news section. So how it's going to work today. After the news section here, we're going to talk about the IUPUI game, and then I'm going to preview the first matchup, which is against South Florida, and then talk about some potential matchups and how those teams have performed up to this point. So make sure to stay tuned. And don't forget, go Blurs.
Cast package on Fox Sports Midwest and NBC Sports Chicago in 2019-2020.
Yeah, there's like nationally televised games. I think Oil has at least 2 and they could have a 3rd. Oh, that was another thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
I need to not burp when we're recording.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So last week on Wednesday, we matched up with Horizon League team, IUPUI, in a matchup where I was hopeful that we would win, but IUPUI, well, I'm probably going to mess that up a couple times. I'm going to call them the Jaguars from now on because that's too many syllables. They all sound alike. The Jaguars, coming into this game, were 2-2, and they had a win against our next opponent, South Florida, and it was at South Florida. So this was a game that I think that probably got overlooked on the schedule, but the Jaguars aren't a bad team. The Horizon League, as you guys all know, is where Loyola basketball used to play before we moved to the Missouri Valley Conference. And it's, you know, it's a decent conference. UIC plays in that, Detroit Mercy, and it's a quality conference. And I knew that this game would be, I think, a little closer than people expected. And it was pretty close for a good amount of time, until halftime, and really until the last few seconds before halftime, which we will get into a little bit here. But some of the takeaways, first of all, have to talk about Lucas Williamson. 22 points, 3 rebounds, and only 23 minutes played. I mean, that's a point a minute, nearly. He was 4-for-6 from 3. He did hit 2 of his 3 free throws. A really impressive game from Lucas. He was in a bit of a bit of foul trouble. He got in, I think he had 2 fouls right in the first like 8 minutes or something. So then he didn't play too much the rest of the first half. And then he got his 3rd foul pretty much in the first like 2 minutes of the second half. So that limited him. And by the time that more time had gone off the clock, we had taken a huge lead in the second half. So it almost wasn't worth getting him in there. But when he was in there, he looked great. He was hitting different types of threes, different spots on the floor, a dribble, you know, off his own dribble, a catch and shoot. He looked really, really good. And I think he needed that game. I think that we've been talking about it. And I think I even said last week that he was one of my disappointments so far to this point. We know he's a good shooter. He can shoot the 3-ball well. If Lou was here, he would say he would want him to stop shooting threes. But I don't know. I think I fall somewhere in the middle. I really do like him shooting. I think they're, you know, if he has an open three in rhythm, I want him to shoot it. I don't want him to take bad shots, but I also think that he's a good enough to great shooter where if he keeps shooting, he's going to make them. And this was that game for him. Hopefully he's able to carry that over. I think he will. If you all remember from last year, he actually had his most impressive game in the tournament, like in the away tournament against Richmond. I think he had over 20 points. I don't really remember exactly how many he had, but it was a really impressive game. And I'm hoping to see one or two of those type of games from him in this tournament. Next guy, Cameron Krutwig. Unfortunately, did not get that double-double. I'm sorry, Lou. He did, though, finish with 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. A great defensive game for him. There was actually one block where he kind of, like, helped on defense. I think maybe Ahir or Tate were guarding their guy down low. And Cam left his man, came over, and stuffed the absolute crap out of this guy. And that was kind of something different. I really hadn't ever seen him do that. Usually, he's not a big block guy. Like, he's not getting up there and swatting anything. And if he gets his blocked, it's like little tip blocks where he just kind of beats the guy to the spot that he wants to go on his layup or on a jump shot or something. But this was different. This was an athletic move. This is him reading the defense, knowing he has help behind him, and going up and high pointing the ball, and hopefully we get to see more of that from him. Unfortunately, he did have 4 turnovers, and they weren't very good turnovers. He in the first half, I know he had a couple bad passes. He lost like a dribble on one. Turnovers that aren't aggressive. Like he's not trying to make something good happen. It just kind of the ball would fall out of his hands, or he made a bad decision. So hopefully that's not something that becomes a pattern. Hopefully it's just a one-off. But the thing, 2 things I like to see, he did take, it hasn't been here, it's only taking 8 shots, but that's because he got fouled so much. And when he got fouled, he made all of his shots. He was 8-for-8 from the free throw line, which is incredible. I said in one of the podcasts leading up to the season that is one area that I really want to see him improve on. And because of it, it will improve his points per game. And this is a prime example of that. 8 for 8 from the free throw line is no joke. It's impressive, and hopefully he can keep it up. Next guy, Marquise Kennedy. 14 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Only 2 turnovers, not a bad game for him turnovers-wise. He was 2 for 3 from 3, and he hit all 4 of his free throws, which is going to be a theme in this game. And he only took 5 shots, which maybe that's a good development. Some of the games where he hasn't looked as in control, he's taking double-digit shots. So, I don't know. Kind of look to see if it's a pattern. He's not a type of guy that needs to take a bunch of shots. He doesn't need the ball in his hands all the time. But when he does, he makes plays happen. So, on a good team, you don't need him to be taking 10, 12, 14 shots a game. That 5 to 8 range is probably, I'd like to see him up to like 6, 7, or 8, something like that. But not a bad shooting night for him. In fact, a pretty good one. Next guy, Paxson Wojcik. You guys all know from last week, I am very much on the Paxson Wojcik train. He finished with 10 points, career high, 4 rebounds, career high, 3 assists. I think that ties his career high, if I'm not mistaken. It was either rebounds or assists that he tied his career high, and 3 steals, which is also his career high. He played 24 minutes, which is actually more than Lucas Williams, and Paxson was the guy that came in a lot of the time when Lucas was out due to foul trouble, and he just looked really, really good. He almost looked like polished, like I thought. He wasn't really playing like a freshman. He still has usually one freshman mistake a game, whether it's botching a rebound or maybe not knowing the shot clock or something like that, but he's really, really impressing me. I'm hoping that this is here to stay. He did miss that one game a couple games ago against Coppin State. We really could have used him. He plays good defense. He's not going to wow you with any athleticism, but his three-point shot looked great. He was 2 for 3 from 3. And he just plays with a lot of energy. And you know what? Consider me on the Paxson Wojcik train, bandwagon, whatever you want to call it. I am a huge Paxson Wojcik fan. I'm really excited to see him grow throughout the season, what he can become. I think he's going to have a few setbacks like all freshmen do. But I'm really impressed with him. I really am. I think he can really become a leader on this team too. He's leading the team in and out of huddles and chants and into the stadium and out of the stadium. I don't know. I'm really, really excited to see what kind of player he becomes, and he's off to a good start. Some of the other guys, Ugwak did not have a great first half, but he did end up having a good second half. He finished with 9 points, 1 rebound, 4 assists, 1 steal. He was 5 for 5 from the free throw line, and unfortunately did have 4 turnovers. So that's something for him to improve on. The one guy who has been sort of our second best player, and definitely second best scorer to this point of the season, Tate Hall. He only finished with 5 points, 1 rebound, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. But he didn't have any turnovers. And you know what? If you're going to have one of your lower scoring games, then it's great to see no turnovers, because at least you're not losing us the ball game. You know, he took a couple threes early. He missed them both. He probably said to himself, you know, this isn't the type of game I'm going to go off scoring-wise. So let me play some good defense. You know, let me get a steal, a block. Let me get you some 4 assists. Like, he's still making himself useful. He also played the most minutes. So, you know what? I don't think this is who he is as a player. I think we're going to see many more good games from him rather than games like this. So let's see what kind of tournament he has. It'll be a good test for him as a player and as a Division I player. Some other notes off the bench. Tom Welch, 14 minutes, 4 points, rebound and assist and a block. I don't think the stat line tells the whole story. He's still looking a little lost on the court, in my opinion. I think he's growing, and I think this amount of minutes lets him continue to grow, but I don't know what kind of playing time he's going to see once Frank is back. So I think that's something to keep our eyes on. Other guy, Jalen Pipkins, played 16 minutes, did hit a three-pointer, and that is the only stat he recorded besides a foul. He looked good. Kind of interesting. He was a defensive sub, actually, towards, I think, the end of the first half. And also some bits in the second half, where if we knew we had a defensive possession coming up, he would come in. Which I do like his defense. I think he's pesky. He's really quick and fast. He gets around screens. He's still looking to, I think, kind of find his role. But if he's going to buy into being a defensive player, then consider me totally on board with that. I think he can score, too. I think that's the thing. I think he can score, and but if he's focusing on his defense, and he can be a really good player for this team, in a whether it's a limited capacity or a big role. Other guys off the bench, Bruno had 8 minutes, played 8 minutes, did not look good, in my opinion. And then we had two of our walk-ons, Will Alcock and Sami Ismail, also see some time at the end of the game. But the one thing we need to talk about is at halftime, or right before halftime, Marquise Kennedy, man. First of all, we made a great defensive stop, which is awesome, and got the ball back. Marquise, I think, received the pass off the inbound or somewhere along there, dribbled up the court, got to the three-point line, hit his guy with the meanest crossover, I believe it was behind his back, and the defender fell down onto his butt, and Marquise hit him with a three right in his face. Well, not in his face because he was sitting on the ground, but an excellent, excellent play. So fun to see live, man. The crowd was loud even before the shot went down, and it got louder after it swooshed through the net. But he's just so much fun to watch. He is going to be a really, really good player, guys. I'm so excited to see who he becomes, what kind of player he becomes, and he's showing it. And I really don't even think we've seen his highlights defensively yet. I mean, we've seen a couple, don't get me wrong, but he is a fantastic defender. And I think we're going to start, as he starts to play a little looser, a little freer, is more confident with playing alongside his teammates on defense, trusts them to get his back. We're going to see some, I really think we're going to see some absolutely nasty swats on defense as well. So, shouts out. That made my night. That shot was amazing. I don't know. I don't know if there's any more sort of patterns. Excellent, excellent night from the free throw line. 22 of 24. That's as best as you can ask for, really. Welch hit both of his free throws. Ugwak was 5 for 5. Cam was 8 for 8. Marquise Kennedy was 4 for 4. The only ones who missed free throws, Tate was 1 for 2, and Lucas was 2 for 3. So, excellent night from the free throw line. That sort of thing is going to win you ball games. I shot 56% from three, which is probably not sustainable. Still, really fun to see them shoot the ball well. Hopefully some of that magic and luck carries into the tournament. So I think that's going to wrap up the review of the IUPUI game. It was a great game. Great to see us kind of play good defense. And, you know, we limited them to 62 points, which they came in averaging over 70. So it was impressive to see us do that, as well as just kind of find our rhythm. And I think it couldn't have come at a better time going into this tournament. You'll hear a little bit more about why I think we have a very good shot to win our first game and multiple games in this tournament. So stay tuned. And remember, go Blurs.
Broadcast package on Fox Sports Midwest and NBC Sports Chicago in 2019-2020.
Yeah, there's like nationally televised games. I think Loyola has at least two, and they could have a third. Oh, that was another thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that's what I was
like. I need to not burp when we're recording.
That'd be great.
Yeah. And we're back. So the South Florida Bulls have a 2-2 record coming into the Cayman Islands basketball tournament. They most recently had a victory over Wofford at home, and before that, they lost at home to IUPUI. Before that, they lost to Boston College, and they won their opener, which is to Arkansas Pine Bluff. So, you know, take that as you will. Not a super high scoring team. The most they've scored is 70 against Arkansas. Arkansas Pine Bluff, that is. They scored 69 against Wofford, and then in their two defeats, they scored 60 and 53. So not a super high scoring team. But it looks like they will end up, they'd start a 7-foot center. In addition to that, to him, they start a few guards at 6'3", 6'1", 6'6", and 6'3". So I think we match up pretty well, as height-wise at least. You know, at least the lineup we've been going with so far, in Marquise Kennedy, who's about 6 foot, 6'1", Lucas, who's 6'3", 6'4", and then Tate and Ahir, who are both 6'6", and 6'7", and then Cam, who's 6'9". So the biggest really height difference there is between Cam and their center, who's 7 foot. So last year, they actually won the CVI tournament. So they did have 24 wins, so they're coming back with from an impressive season, and they're bringing back 4 of their 5 starters. So you would think that would kind of lead to good things for them. But as up to this point, it has not. You know, this 2-2 record, they lost, or they played all 4 games at home, which is not surprising. I mean, we've played 4 of our 5 games at home. But I do think we have a slight advantage in that regard. Playing that away game at Furman kind of maybe woke the players up, especially the new guys up, to how college basketball is on the road. And although this is not a road game, it's a neutral site game, you're not playing at your home gym. So you know, you get used to that comfort. I think there is a comfort that comes along with playing at home, and I'm hoping that that might lead to a slow start for South Florida. So hopefully we can catch them a little off guard and go off to a quick start, whether that's, you know, some layups off some beautiful Cameron Crutwig passes, or Marquise Kennedy getting to the hoop and finishing, or some three-pointers by either Tate or Lucas. I'm thinking that a quick start is something that could really help us out in this game. They only have 2 players right now averaging over 10 points. David Collins, who's a guard, and LaQuincy Radu, who's also a guard. But they're averaging 14.5 and 12.5 points, respectively. A couple other guys, one's at 9.5. I believe their 7-footer is at 9.5. And then 7.8 and 5.3. So no one really doesn't really stand out. I mean, of course, they're a leading scorer. David Collins is someone we'll have to keep our eye on, but not shooting a great percentage from 3 up to this point, only at 21%. And looking at their stats, they do like to shoot the 3 a lot. So in 4 games, they've shot 91 3-pointers, and in our 5 games, we've only shot 81. So, and you know, as you know, we do shoot a fair amount of 3s, especially when they're open. So, I'm hoping that they kind of get out to a cold start playing on a new floor. But if they're hitting 3-pointers early, then I guess that's something to really be aware of and be a little bit nervous if they're hitting their 3-pointers early. So in addition to that, like kind of like I was talking about earlier, this team, the South Florida team, looks like they kind of have something to prove. They haven't really had a successful start to their season. Kind of like us. I mean, we've done okay. We're 3-2, but definitely thought we would be 4-1 at this point, at least before the season. And the South Florida team lost to the same IUPUI team that we beat by a bunch. They lost actually to that Cougars team by 17. And if you all remember, we beat them by a lot. I think it was 23 or something like that. In fact, yeah, it was 23. We beat them 85-62. So, a little bit of discrepancy there. That doesn't mean that we're going to just go out and walk all over these guys. In fact, you know, maybe South Florida is playing with a little bit of passion because they're like, these guys aren't going to think we're any good. So we have to still treat them just like any other opponent. This team, this South Florida team, is a good defensive team. That's kind of, I think, their calling card. But it'll be a battle. But I do think that we have a great chance to win this game. Catch them kind of at a bad point in their season where they haven't really been playing all that well. Catch them on their first game away from their home stadium. And, you know, we have won the two games in a row, and they've both been really impressive. Both the St. Joe's and the IUPUI game have been impressive in their own ways. And whether it's, you know, kind of hanging with St. Joe's until we were able to accelerate and win that game by a bunch, where Lucas Williamson wasn't playing that well, or whether it's this last game against IUPUI where Tate Hall wasn't scoring the ball really well. So this team has kind of found a couple other guys who have been able to score the ball and get stops on defense, get steals. And I think now is the time at which we're hoping that all the pieces can work together. So this is going to be the tournament where I think that they figure it out, and whether I think it's just a matter of time of how long it takes them, whether it's they find it in the first game and then they kind of run with it, or, you know, maybe it's a backs up against the wall type of thing. Maybe they lose the first game and then they find it in the second game and then, you know, don't look back, right? And they win the second and the third game. But it is really important to win the first game because from a tournament standpoint, if you win, you're going to play another team who's already won, and they're probably a better team. So if you keep winning, you keep playing good teams, and that helps you as a team look better at the end of the season, raise your standings or your rankings in these assorted measurements, whether it's KenPom or Haslametrics or whatever. But if you're playing against a better team, then that more positively influences how the games look by themselves, if that makes sense. But I'm really looking forward to this game. I have a good feeling. I don't want to be too antsy about it. But I do have a good feeling. I think that Lucas really continues what he's doing. And it'll be interesting to see a team who's not used to what Cameron Crutwig can do. You know, some of these teams we've played, whether it's Furman, whether it's Furman or St. Joe's, who we both played last year, saw Cameron Crutwig play. And South Florida is not a team that we've ever, has not seen Cameron Crutwig play, or we have not played against them with him. So I think that Lucas plays well. I think that Cam also plays well, and it really benefits from seeing a team that he hasn't played against before. And I think we see both Frank and Keith get some quality minutes in, and maybe one of either Marquise or Tate have a good game, a good scoring game here. It should be a fun game. I've been asked on Twitter whether how to watch the games, and you can buy a subscription to Flow Hoops, FLOHOOPS. But I do think it's pretty expensive. I think it's like $25 a month or something like that. And just to watch three Loyola games, probably not worth it, but I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money. I assume, but I don't know for sure, that the audio stream that has been working for the first few games will also be in effect for this tournament. So that's one way. If you want to go the more risky route, you can... Reddit has a subreddit. It's like college basketball streams or something to that effect. And it usually works pretty well, to be honest. I've used it for college basketball, college football, baseball, football, whatever. So it is pretty reliable. Sometimes it just takes a couple different, there's like multiple links and you can kind of go through them and try different ones. But I think one way or another, you'll be able to watch or at least listen to the game. After the first game against South Florida, I believe our next matchup is against either New Mexico State and Colorado State. I'm just pulling it up right now. Yeah, it's either Colorado State and New Mexico State. They actually played before us, so we'll know who our matchup is, whether we win or lose. Right out the gate, New Mexico State's the better team. Colorado State is in a better conference, though. I believe they're in the not the SEC, on the West Coast, the Pac-12. But I would prefer to see New Mexico State. First of all, I would prefer to win. Whoever we play, I would prefer to win, obviously. But I think New Mexico State's the better team and is going to be the better team this year. So Washington State is in the Pac-12, which has more than a few good teams. Oregon, USC, just to name a couple. So hopefully whoever we see, we're able to win, you know, whether hopefully we win and are able to keep winning. But even if we lose, hopefully we can just pull out. It'd be really nice to win two of these three games, which I think is very possible. I don't think that anyone in this tournament scares me. I think New Mexico State, honestly, is probably the team that I would be the most afraid to play. But some of the other teams like George Mason, Old Dominion, although they've had good teams in the past, not the best team right now. Actually, I'm looking at the bracket. Please, I need to make a correction. So New Mexico State actually plays Colorado State to begin with. I'm sure some of you were screaming at the podcast of, you know, those who are much more intelligent than I am when it comes to Loyola basketball. But the first opponent is actually Colorado State. Colorado State plays in the Mountain West, which is not a bad conference. They're 3-2 at this point in the season. And we know a couple of the other teams in the Mountain West, like Nevada. So New Mexico State plays Colorado State, and we play one of those two teams. But looking further down the bracket, seeing George Mason and Old Dominion, they've had good teams. They've made the tournaments in past years, but neither of those teams really scare me. And then Washington State and Nebraska. I mean, I think Nebraska's probably, they're a high major team, which means they probably have pretty highly touted recruits. But I've only seen a few of their results, and nothing is they're not ranked. Like, they're not any team that is out to a blistering start. So all in all, I mean, this tournament is very winnable, but I'm guessing that everyone in the tournament is saying the same thing. You know, it's not just me as a Loyola fan sitting here telling you, you know, people of fans who are of South Florida or Old Dominion or New Mexico State probably saying the exact same things. So it's really, I think, going to be the team that goes out to win this is going to be the team that gets hot and stays hot and is able to stay fresh. You know, 3 games in 3 days is no joke. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I think depth is really going to be a key issue, especially for the third game. You might see some teams who play only 6 or 7 guys win their first game and maybe even win their second game. But if they're only playing 6 or 7 guys, I don't think that they'll be able to keep pace for their third game. So I'm looking to see. I really do think we're probably going to see 9 or 10 players get pretty significant minutes. You know, it's our starting five, which we've had for 4 of the 5 games. Marquise Kennedy, Cameron Krautwig, Lucas Williamson, Ahir Ugloch, and Tate Hall. In addition to them, definitely looking to see, I think Paxson's going to get a lot of playing time. I'm going to guess Frank is going to see a good amount. And depending on Keith Clemens' health, I think he'll probably see a good amount too. Might see Bruno in from time to time. And Tom Welch in from time to time too. But if I had to name the top, like the rotation right now, you know, it's obviously our 5 starters. And then I think Paxson's probably the first guy off the bench and probably is going to play the most minutes, at least from what I've seen so far. I would guess Frank is probably in that next group. Frank along with probably Jalen Pipkins. I didn't even mention Jalen Pipkins. I'm going to guess that, you know, Jalen is probably going to see a good amount of minutes. Depending on Keith's health, I do put him in that next tier. I don't know. I think if 2 guys are going to get left out, it's going to be Bruno and Tom. That's kind of unfortunately. I think that the other guys are probably going to see some more playing time, but who knows? You know, coach likes to really throw us for loops when it comes to who's playing and who's not playing and who's playing a lot of minutes. So it'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I want to make sure to tweet as much as, you know, we possibly can from the account. It might, you know, I have work. I know Lou has work, but we're going to, you know, try to sneak it as much as we can, watch the games, listen to the games whenever we can. But if you see, you know, you don't see as much coverage, apologize for that in advance. But, you know, we'll be sure to talk with you before and after the games on Twitter. Next week we will have both of us on here because it'll be a fun time dissecting the three games. Hopefully three wins, hopefully three impressive games. And, you know, I think most importantly, really hoping that Frank and Keith both are able to come back in a big way and come back healthy. The way that I see that this could possibly not go so well is if Keith and Frank are struggling coming back into the lineup, and for whatever reason they're playing a lot of minutes. That is, I think, one way that we could possibly see a bit of struggle. So we do play the 25th, Monday, 26th, and the 27th. And then after that, at least looking at ESPN's schedule, we don't play again until December 3rd, which makes sense, off for Thanksgiving and all that, and which will be at Ball State. So the next home game is going to be December 7th against Quincy, which is a Saturday. I'll be there. I'll be watching. I'll be hollering and yelling at the players. So it'll be a fun little stretch here. Tournaments are always fun, and it'll be good to see the guys get out there in whatever capacity we can see them play. So I'm going to predict. I think USF's a pretty good defensive team. So I'm going to predict a 68-58 win, at least against USF. I'll probably tweet out some predictions when we know who we're going to play the second day. But I think that's going to do it here at Podcast 63. Thanks for putting up with me and my voice for as long as you all did. I really do enjoy making the podcast, and whether it's by myself or with Lou or with special guests or when we're eating hot wings. So no matter how we do it, we're going to try to provide you with the best Loyola coverage that we can. But that's the end of the episode here. Thanks for listening, and do not forget, go Blurs.